Well, good morning, Covenant Grove. My name is Heather Tomsack. I'm the lead pastor at Freedom Point Covenant Church in Loomis, California. It's about 30 miles east of Sacramento. If you've ever driven up 80 to Tahoe, you passed our exit, unless you blinked at just the right time, then you did not see us. We planted our church in our first Christmas Eve service was December 2020, outside under some heat lamps. And we've had the privilege of having Scott Nelson as our church planting coach within the denomination. And so it's really a privilege to be here with you this morning, even though he left before I got here. But I won't hold that against him. But he's been an amazing encouragement to us in this adventure that is church planting, which many of you I know have been along on a similar journey with that church planting process. Okay, I'm really excited to hear about your Mexico trip coming up because we do Mexico with our church, but I became a Christian when I was 18 years old and I got invited to youth group. I did not grow up going to church, got invited to youth group. It was the last night to sign up for a Mexico trip and I was raised by a single mom. I took the packet home to my mom and said, "Hey, I think I want to go build a house in Mexico." And she said, "What?" And I said, "Yes, I want to go build a house in Mexico. I don't really know why. I don't really know anything about church." But so many people had helped us along the years. And I felt like this was an opportunity that I had to go give back to somebody else. And so we fundraised, we figured out a way for me to get there. And it was in Mexico where I heard about Jesus Christ, where I really got to hear who he is and what he had done for me. And I got to see other people putting their faith in action because that was something that was always kind of hard for me. That my grandpa is a very judgmental Christian, and that was kind of the image of Christianity that I had. But I saw people's faith in action, and I gave my life to Christ there in Mexico. On the drive home, I borrowed a leader's cell phone, broke up with a boyfriend that was not a good relationship for me, enrolled in a Christian college, and, you know, God just worked and worked and called me into ministry through that. So when they say that Mexico can change your life, it changes lives. And that's why it was the first event that we did when we planted a church outside of, you know, just services. We said, "We're taking our high schoolers to Mexico," and we do a family trip every year as well. So that's my own little plug for Mexico. Sign up, go to the meeting, at least hear more information because it truly is life-changing. I'm really excited to be here with you this morning. We're in the book of Luke. I did a little bit of research. I watched your service from last week so I could be informed on where you guys are at. And where you left off last week, the angel of the Lord had just informed the virgin, unwed teenager Mary that she would become pregnant. And the baby she would carry would be the Son of the Most High. After asking only one recorded question, I don't know about you, I would have a lot more questions than just one. She verbalized one that's recorded that we get to read about. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said." That's verse 38. This morning, we're going to pick up in verse 39 in the first chapter of Luke. And Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. See, the angel of the Lord had told Mary that her relative Elizabeth was also going to be with child. But Elizabeth was well along in her years. Elizabeth was old. Elizabeth was beyond the years of getting pregnant. And yet Elizabeth becomes pregnant. So Mary goes to visit Elizabeth because surely, if she could become pregnant when she's well along in her years, she might be able to understand what Mary's going through. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth to seek an understanding friend, to seek a comforting ear who might listen and hear her, and to seek someone who might just believe her, because a virgin becoming pregnant? Really? Really? So Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. We're going to pick up in Luke 1:39-45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." As soon as Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the unborn John the Baptist, that's who Elizabeth is pregnant with, leaps for joy because both mothers are filled with the Holy Spirit. And as Elizabeth proceeds to speak blessings over Mary, she recognizes the faith that it took for Mary to receive this promise. Elizabeth recognizes the humility Mary displayed to receive the promise of being the vessel of the birth of Christ. And Elizabeth takes the opportunity to encourage Mary's faith. She says, "What the Lord has done, may it be accomplished." See, when the angel of the Lord leaves Mary in the previous passage, Mary is asking her one clarifying question: how can this be since I'm a virgin? And then she surrenders to the Lord's plan. But it isn't until this encounter with Elizabeth that she truly begins to rejoice. It's after this encouragement where Elizabeth confirms the miracle that Mary can then begin to rejoice. And she breaks out in song, and it's the first Christmas carol in verses 46-56. Now, Mary's song that she sings, it has multiple Old Testament references. See, Mary was a young Jewish girl who was eagerly anticipating the coming of the king. She was anticipating this king who would come and bring victory, who would come and bring freedom, who would set the captives free, who would crush the head of the serpent. Mary knew all those Old Testament prophecies, and they pour out of her heart in this beautiful song. She sings a song of God's faithfulness, of his power, of his goodness, of how he's going to set the oppressed free, how he's going to humble the arrogant and lift up the humble. And Mary rejoices and glorifies the Lord before Jesus is ever born. She glorifies the Lord before she sees the fulfillment of the promise. She rejoices. She stays with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returns home. And then we get to read about the birth of John the Baptist in verses 57-56. See, when God fulfills his promise and gives Zechariah and Elizabeth the baby boy, the relatives are all there and they want to name him. They want to name him, and they ask Elizabeth, because Zechariah, if you guys remember from last week, his mouth has been shut because of his disbelief. So they ask Elizabeth, "What shall we name the boy?" And she says, "John." Well, they're a little confused because John's not a family name. So apparently they don't believe Elizabeth. So they look to Zechariah, whose mouth has been shut, and he writes on a tablet that his name is John. And immediately his mouth is restored because of his obedience. Immediately, verse 64 says, his mouth was opened and he begins to praise. He begins to praise, not his own son, who had just been born, but he begins to praise and rejoice for the upcoming birth of the Messiah. His first words when he could begin to speak again were to praise the Lord. And then he, like Mary, also sings a song, and it's full of prophecy. Immediately his mouth was restored because he obeyed and named his son John. It didn't make sense to him. It didn't make sense to the people around him, and yet he still obeyed because it's what the Lord had told him to do. And then he praises. It's fascinating that God's prophetic voice had been silent for 400 years. And then just in this one chapter of the book of Luke, we get to read of all these prophecies. The Lord speaks through Gabriel and Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah, just in this small section of scripture. And Zechariah sings a song of prophecy about Jesus. Again, Jesus hasn't been born yet. And Zechariah praises. Jesus hadn't been born yet. He hadn't yet conquered sin on the grave, hadn't yet been victorious over the grave, and Zechariah sings a song of praise. His own son had just been born. His own son, John the Baptist, who would be an incredible prophet and prepare the way for Jesus, had just been born. But first, Zechariah exalts the name of Jesus. He did celebrate his own son and the miracle that was John the Baptist. But first, he celebrates the Messiah, the one to come, who the angel had told him about. This Christmas, I think it's time for us to sing a new song. We can go all the way through the end of the year with the same old song and dance as we always do. We can attend all the parties. We can attend all the social gatherings. We can overextend ourselves with the parties and the energy that we extend with. We can overextend ourselves with the finances to keep up with the world around us and to make ourselves look really amazing. And then we can sneak Jesus in for a quick hour on Christmas Eve before we go back to overindulging ourselves. Or we can sing a new song. And as I look at my own church and as I look at my own community, and even as I reflect on my own life, I'm desperate for a new song. My community, and I would bet yours is similar, is desperate for a new song. So this year, this month, as we finish out the year, Covenant Grove, let's sing a new song. It's time for a new song of rejoicing, of obedience, of humility, and of surrender. A new song of rejoicing. Before Jesus is even born, Elizabeth, Mary, and Zechariah rejoice in the promise of his arrival. Before Mary ever travels to Bethlehem, before the inn is too full for the birth of Jesus, they rejoice and they magnify the Lord. They give glory to the Lord. And some of us have been, the word that comes to mind is lazy, but that sounds harsh for a Sunday morning. So I'll say stagnant. Some of us have been maybe stagnant, unmoved in our faith, and we forget to rejoice. We forget to sing the praises of the Lord. And for us in this room, us who are still living today, we are on this side of the cross, which means we know what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We're on this side of Pentecost, meaning we now have the power of the Holy Spirit. We should be rejoicing the most. Mary and Zechariah and Elizabeth rejoiced. They didn't even fully know what they were rejoicing about yet. Yes, they had the Old Testament prophecies, but they hadn't yet seen Jesus conquer sin on the cross and conquer death over the grave. And yet they rejoiced. Don't you think it's time for us to sing a new song of rejoicing? I've been married for 11 years, and we got married in June, and I quickly became pregnant, and we told all of our family on Christmas Eve, our first Christmas as a married couple, and then we went to church, and while we're in church, things just started to not feel right, and I knew something was wrong, and my husband is the ultimate optimist, and he said, "No, you're just tired," and I said, "No, there's something really wrong." And by the time Christmas morning rolled around, we were in the emergency room because I was having a miscarriage. And the doctors confirmed that I was having a miscarriage. And we sat in the emergency room on Christmas morning, which is never, you never want to be in the emergency room. You definitely don't want to be there on Christmas morning. And just crying and weeping. We had been so excited for this baby. And when we left the emergency room, everything was closed. We hadn't eaten all day. So we went through Jack in the Box, which is like not your, you know, typical Christmas meal. And we sat in the parking lot after going through the drive-thru crying. And my flesh wanted to be bitter. My flesh wanted to say, Lord, you created this baby Jesus, in a virgin. Surely you could save this baby inside of me. You created this baby inside Elizabeth when she was well along in her years. I'm not quite that old. Surely you could save this baby inside of me. I wanted to be bitter. And through tears, my husband started saying, Lord, thank you that Heather's healthy. Lord, thank you that we were able to get pregnant in the first place. Lord, thank you that you sent your son. He started to rejoice. We weren't happy. It wasn't out of happiness. It was out of the Lord's goodness. It was out of acknowledging that even in our circumstances, even in the unknown, even in the pain and the suffering, God is good. It's time for us to have a new song. I realize that not everybody is just filled with happiness in the Christmas season, because it's often a reminder of maybe things that didn't happen this year that we had hoped for and longed for. Sometimes it's a sign of things that we've lost or that just we're not where we wanted to be. And yet we can still rejoice because God is still good. And it's time for a new song. It's time for a new song of obedience. Our favorite word, right? Friends, when the Christmas season becomes too busy to where we barely have time to fit Jesus in, we've missed the mark somewhere. We've missed it. This whole month is about Jesus. And yet we often forget to invite him to his own birthday party. We spend the whole month focused on everything except for the birth or everything around us, and we forget to focus truly on the birth of a Savior. Jesus didn't enter this world through a miraculous conception, spend his life as a sinless, perfect man, die a criminal's death, bear the weight of the sin of the world. And the sin of the world, let's remember that that's my sin and your sin. Sometimes we can think really globally and think really big, but let's make it personal. He bore the weight of our sin, spent 3 days dead, and then rose again in victory. He didn't do all of that so we could just rush through his name on Christmas Eve to get back to all the parties. If our lives are so full and so busy, not just this month, let's not just put a little box around December, but all the time, then we are doing something wrong. We've disobeyed somewhere. We can fill our lives with a lot of really good things and still be missing it. And I firmly believe that the Lord is ready to cut some of those things out of our life so that we can get back to focusing on him. And we need to ask the Lord, where have I been disobedient? Where have I been so focused on things other than you that I've slowly boxed you out? And that might mean that for us that Christmas looks a little different this year. It might mean saying yes to criticism. It might mean saying yes to being ostracized like Mary. It might mean saying yes to things that your friends and family don't understand. It might mean saying no to things that are taking up the place where Jesus belongs. It might mean taking those invite cards and being willing to put yourself out on the line and look like a fool in your mind to invite someone who needs to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ. Because friends, it's not just about filling this building. It's about inviting people in so that they can hear about who the Lord is. When we're listening to the Lord and when we're obedient to what He calls you to do, it shouldn't matter what others think. And I know it's hard for us to get over that because we have ego, but let's put the ego aside and worry more about what the Lord is calling us to do. See, Zechariah obeyed and his mouth was opened, and then the people around him were filled with awe. Verse 65 in Luke chapter 1 says, the neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Because Zechariah obeyed and his mouth was opened up and restored, people began talking about it. What if your obedience to the Lord leads people to begin talking about what the Lord is doing? Maybe it's going to Mexico. Did you hear they're going to Mexico? Did you hear they're going to go build a house? Why would they do that? Why would they spend their own time and money during spring break? They're going to Mexico on spring break, not that Mexico on spring break. Maybe the way you choose to live differently will cause others to pause and ask some questions and then become curious about the Lord. It's also time for a new song of humility. After Elizabeth esteems Mary and compliments her for her faithfulness and her obedience, Mary turns and glorifies the Lord. Mary herself knew she needed a Savior. It's in her song in verse 47. She knew she needed a Savior. She didn't turn to self-promotion and self-congratulation, which could have been really easy for her to do. The angel told her she was highly favored, and Mary didn't go, I'm really highly favored. Look at me. I'm going to birth the Savior. She turns and glorifies the Lord. Talk about humility. Elizabeth celebrates Mary and rejoices with her because of the Savior. Both Mary and Elizabeth, they think less about themselves and more about the Lord. So here's the problem with humility. We often get it wrong because we think of humility as like, okay, well, I just need to become really low and I need to think about myself in a different view. Woe is me. Look how horrible I am. That's not true humility. True humility is just thinking about yourself less. It's not thinking too highly or too lowly about yourself. It's just realizing it's actually not about me at all. It's about the Lord. That's true humility. And that's exactly the perspective that Mary and Elizabeth have. I'm just a vessel. It's about the Lord. Where have you been more focused on magnifying yourself rather than magnifying the Lord? See, to magnify is to make bigger, right? We magnify things so that we can read them as our eyes start to fail. To magnify is to make bigger. Are you making yourself bigger or are you making the Lord bigger? Where have you been more focused on magnifying yourself rather than magnifying the Lord? Isn't it ironic that during the month where we celebrate Jesus' birth, we celebrate Jesus leaving the comfort of heaven to come down to the earth to save us from ourselves. During that month, we find ourselves striving the most. We find ourselves focusing on ourselves the most. We spend the month elevating ourselves, working to make ourselves look perfect, working for that perfect family picture, so that we can send it out to all of our relatives and friends and coworkers, and we write the perfect letter to tell everybody about how amazing our kids are. I love those letters, but I think it's ironic that we spend so much time magnifying ourselves for everybody else to read. We have the perfect outfits, the perfect tree. If our kids don't do it right, we rearrange the ornaments. The perfect decorations. Me, me, me. Look at me. I'm perfect. And then we go on to make New Year's resolutions about my goals, how I'm going to be better, how I'm going to be even more perfect than I was last year, so that in next year's newsletter, oh man, you're going to read about how great I am. Me, me, me. And we forget to glorify the Lord. We push him back out into the cold of that hay-filled manger that he was born in, out of our homes, out of our hearts. But friends, it's time for a new song. And finally, it's time for a new song of surrender. It's time to let it go, to hold our hands before the Lord and to fully surrender. In verse 38, which was last week's passage, Mary says, "May it be," in verse 38, which kind of sets the whole miracle in motion, because she agrees. But she says, "I don't know what this means, but may it be. I am the Lord's servant. May it be. May it be to criticism. May it be to being judged and ostracized. May it be to eventually standing at the foot of the cross, watching her son bear the weight of the sin of the world. May it be. In complete surrender to the plans the Lord has for her life and for the salvation of the world, this young teenage girl surrenders her own hopes, her own dreams, her own plans for her wedding, her own plans for the birth of her first child. She surrenders it all. She surrenders what other people will think of her. She hands it over to the Lord. And this morning, some of us are in need of that same action, that same act of surrender before the Lord, because we get really wound up at Christmas. We get really wound up as the year starts to slip away, and we want to do it all on our own. And in the midst of trying to appear perfect, we forget to make room for the only one who was and is perfect. The only one who could wash us clean so that we can appear perfect before the Lord when we get to meet him. Man, how far we've fallen, especially during this time where we were supposed to be celebrating the birth of Jesus. When we're meant to slow down and anticipate. I love celebrating Advent. We do Advent readings at our church too, because it's the anticipation of the arrival of Jesus. It's meant for us to slow down and to pause and to really invite Jesus back into his own celebration. We can choose this year to slow down and to sing a new song of rejoicing, where we choose to glorify the Lord more than ourselves, where we choose to put ourselves in the proper position in light of what the Lord has done to us, where we choose to magnify the Lord even in the unknowns, even in the pain, even in the midst of chaos and criticism, because he deserves it. This year, we can choose a song of humility, where we fix our eyes on Jesus and we focus on ourselves less, where we give the Savior of the world more than just going through the motions and checking the boxes because it's what we're supposed to do in December. Jesus didn't come to earth to have a small hay-filled bed in the corner of our garage. He came to have your whole heart so that you could be set free, so that you could be set free of the things that entangle us and keep us from truly rejoicing in him. This song that Mary sings in chapter 1, it's called the Magnificat. That's in Latin. And what's interesting about this song is it's actually been banned in 3 countries because it's revolutionary. Because it's powerful. It's powerful language of freeing the captives and humbling the arrogant and elevating the humble and comforting those who are suffering. And there's some countries who say, we don't want our people to know about that. So we're just going to ban it from being read out loud. But this song that Mary sings, it's not just for Christmas. It's a message for us for all year long, that Jesus came to set us free. And friends, it's really cute to have like the nativity scene with the the innocent cooing baby Jesus and the furry donkey who's somehow well-mannered in the background. And those look great on our lawns and on our fireplace mantles. They really do. We have several. However, I think when that's the only picture we have of Jesus, it leads us to take him for granted because he didn't come and just stay a sweet, innocent baby. He came and he conquered death on the cross. He came to set us free. And when we have this image and we just keep him as the sweet baby Jesus, we do an injustice to what he came to do. He came to set you free. And it is time that we fully surrender and fully allow him to transform every piece of our being, our actions, our attitudes, the way we view ourselves. He deserves that. So this Christmas, as we prepare for the birth of Jesus and as we plan for the new year ahead, let's begin to sing a new song that only glorifies him, that only makes him as big as he deserves, one that puts Jesus back on the throne, one that magnifies the Lord more than ourselves, and one that leads to freedom, because that's what he came to do. He came to bring freedom. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your son. Lord, thank you that you so desired a relationship with us that you sent your son through a miraculous conception, through the obedience of Mary, so that we could have new life. Lord, so that we could be set free, so that you could break the chains of the things that so easily entangle us and bind us up and hold us back. Lord, I pray that you would move us to obedience. Lord, would you show us the ways that we've been disobedient, the ways that we have been doing things that you don't want us to do, that have slowly cut you out of our hearts and out of our lives. Lord, may this be a morning where we write a new song that only glorifies and magnifies you and gives you the proper attention and respect and the proper place back on the throne that you so deserve. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for taking the weight of my sin so that I could have freedom. It's in your precious name I pray. Amen.